From Springfield, this is State Week in Review, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Whose family unit will be destroyed by allowing two consenting adults who wish to get married to get married? That's just a bunch of rhetoric you have to say, because if you're going to be opposed, you have to say something.
I think this is an example of a situation in Illinois where the legislature passed a bill in a hurried way at the inspiration of the National Rifle Association, contrary to the safety of the people of Illinois.
We know there's a lot of potheads out there, folks that don't really have a medical issue. My concern is that these folks will evolve to the doctor with splitting headaches and severe back pain and all kinds of maladies.
Something's got to be done. We can't go on dedicating so much of our resources to this one sector, pensions.
This is actually no different than a thief coming into your house in the night and stealing your valuables. The difference is this isn't a thief coming in the night. This is your elected representatives coming to you, looking you straight in the eye, and saying, I'm going to take away your future.
Those are some of the sounds of the year 2013 as we look back on the year, and a busy year it was in state government. Some of the sounds we heard there, Senator Linda Holmes, a Democrat from Aurora, and House Speaker Michael Madigan talking about pension legislation, pension reform approved. Representative Jim Sasha, Republican from Pecatonica, criticizing medical marijuana, but medical marijuana is now law. Governor Pat Quinn, with his dislike of concealed carry laws in Illinois, but it's now law. And Representative Lou Lang, a Democrat from Skokie, supporting same-sex marriage, it's also now law. We'll review some of those topics on this week's State Week, which is actually a year in review, looking back at some of the stories of 2013. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield, Amanda Venicky, State House Bureau Chief for WUIS, Brian Mackey, State House Reporter for WUIS, and Kurt Erickson of Lee Enterprises Springfield Bureau, which covers the Capitol for papers in Decatur, Carbondale, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, among others. Kurt, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here.
And as we look back on this year, one thing that happened, and I really didn't think they would do it, but pensions reform became law. I will throw it open to any one of you at the Illinois State House to kind of give us the quick and dirty details of what led up to final passage in early December.
Well, this was years, literally years of wrangling that led up to this final passage. And I think you're not alone, Bill. A lot of people thought that they were just going to keep playing Hamlet until the problem magically resolved itself. I think a lot of people were hoping. But, you know, Governor Pat Quinn said that he was put on this earth to solve this problem, and he kept setting deadlines over the past few years. He often did not do much to enforce that. Pulled a big political showy stunt this past summer. But meanwhile, behind the scenes, there was a small group of lawmakers really trying to negotiate this, and they worked all through the summer into the fall. Once they started finally getting actually close, it got kicked up to the top level of the legislature. The leaders met, and they came to an agreement. And so what they've decided to do is cut back on the retirement benefits for state workers and retirees, university employees, which includes all of us except Kurt, who are speaking on the panel today, and also for public school teachers downstate and in the suburbs. So they're going to be scaling back on the benefits, the retirement benefits there. Of course, this is an issue that's far from over, but we can talk about that a little bit later.
Brian mentioned a stunt in the summer, Kurt Erickson. What was that?
Well, Governor Pat Quinn decided that he would not fund legislators' salaries, and also told them that he would not be accepting his own paycheck, saying, you know, they need to get this done before they get paid. And he was taken to court by the legislative leaders, and he lost.
Anything particularly striking for you, Charlie Wheeler, on this issue?
Well, I thought that it really was a surprise vote in the sense that it reflected a bipartisan agreement worked out by the legislative leadership. Governor Quinn played a role. But as was said earlier, this story is far from over. The expectation is that the affected retirees, unions representing state workers, and others will sue, charging that this plan clearly violates the clear language of the Constitution that says pension benefits are contractual relationship for public workers and they cannot be diminished or impaired. And so kind of the underlying, what would you say, question or suspicion is that the legislative leaders decided we are going to put the onus on the Supreme Court to come back and say, no, you can't do this, and then that will force us to look at other avenues that are possible to deal with this. One of the suggestions that's been made is that we should take our unfunded liability, refinance it as someone would do with a home mortgage, stretch out the payment period, amortize it, and make regular payments according to the schedule until we finally get the pensions funded up to a level that is deemed satisfactory.
Along with a court battle in the coming year, Amanda Venicky, there could also be the question, the push from the Chicago mayor to handle pension payments that are rising in the Chicago pension system. Do you see that having any action in the legislature?
There's most certainly pressure, primarily with Chicago, which many say is in more of a quote-unquote crisis than was the state when it comes to its pension systems. Then it's not just Chicago. That's, again, what's getting the most attention, but it's municipalities across the state. Springfield, for example, the capital city, even profiled in the Washington Post for its unfunded pension liabilities and issues there. So now that the General Assembly has taken such a tough vote when it comes to state employees and teachers and university employees' pensions, one would expect that they would next take up municipal pensions as well. Of course, this all looms as the members of the Illinois House, one-third of the state Senate, and of course a statewide election is on the horizon. So that's the other future as we're looking and waiting for the court to make a decision, and who knows how long that will take. It will be interesting for everyone to watch where the unions come down, if they get involved, and if they make any sort of endorsements, how much they seek to punish the legislators that voted to reduce pension benefits, and particularly Governor Pat Quinn, or even if the unions will side with a couple of perhaps the Republican candidates who came out against this, namely Treasurer Dan Rutherford and Senator Kirk Dillard.
Moving on to another issue that passed the legislature this year, concealed carry of firearms. That came after federal court ruling and lengthy negotiations in the General Assembly. Illinois becomes the last state in the nation to do that, Brian Mackey.
That's right, and this is another issue that had been out there for a number of years. A lot of gun rights supporters among lawmakers had long wanted to see this passed into law. It's become a very popular thing in many, many other states. If anybody travels outside of Illinois, you'll probably encounter, as you may be going into a church or a school or something, that handgun with the bar sinister, the red circle with the line through it on it, were places where you can't bring guns because there are a lot of places where you can't. So Illinois is now finally going to be joining that. You'll begin to see those signs here next year, and people will begin packing heat as they're walking around the state of Illinois. It's expected that as many as 400,000 people, I think I read it actually in Kurt's story this week, could apply for these concealed carry permits next year.
And Kurt Erickson, the government said people were only going to be able to sign up via the web then. Suddenly they changed their mind, and now they said we'll accept paper applications too, just a bit later in the year.
Yeah, so recently they came out and said applications can be done online beginning January 5th, which is also kind of curious because the 5th is a Sunday and state government is not open on Sundays. But nonetheless, they said they could only apply online. And for the most part, they did that because the vendor that they're working with said that that's the fastest way for these things to be processed, because you can send these out to different agencies, and if it was on paper, you'd have to send the piece of paper to three different agencies to get approval on it. So this is faster, and they sort of slowly realized that that wasn't going to go over well with some of the gun rights supporters, and decided that by July 1 they will have a paper application.
As we look ahead at the gun issue, is there anything else you're keeping an eye on right now for 2014 related to that?
Well, I think one of the big things is going to see how many of these permits they actually issue. We've heard Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart say that he plans to object to sort of a wholesale, granting of these permits, and these law enforcement does have a role in the process in whether people will be able to get permits. I think the idea there was that, if you're in a small town somewhere and there's the guy who's the known bully in town, maybe the local police could say, hey, we think it's kind of a terrible idea. This guy's got a history of violence. We really, even though maybe he doesn't have a long prison record or something, we think it's a bad idea for this guy to get this gun. But we may see in places like Chicago and Cook County where gun rights are certainly less popular and there's more of a gun control orientation up there, we may see efforts to try and block or slow down or impair or otherwise make life difficult for people who want to carry concealed weapons.
Well, and additionally, perhaps some tweaking to the law, for instance, where guns will and won't be allowed, places that serve alcohol, for example, that are restaurants. Right now, there would be certain establishments where somebody would be able to bring a gun inside. There will be an effort from Chicago continually to say no and then look for a reverse kind of expansion from more of the gun rights element. The NRA watching very carefully and closely other state police decisions and rulings in terms of the rollout of the concealed carry. Yes, the law is there, but the rules that have a finer jurisdiction of how it will play out, I think there will remain tension there. Illinois, yes, became the 50th state to do this. That was oddly, under a court order, so you had Chicago legislators kicking and screaming to do it because this had happened as, for example, the massacre in Newtown. And there are continually these gun issues that play out across the nation, and so
especially in Chicago, mm-hmm. where there's a huge gun violence problem,
rabid crime. Yeah. Right.
Looking back at the year 2013, this is State Week in Review.
Support for State Week in Review comes from the Illinois State Bar Association, whose activities include proposing and shaping legislation, educating the public, and supporting the courts and the rule of law. Information at IllinoisLawyerFinder.com.
Our panel on State Week, Charlie Wheeler, Amanda Venicky, Brian Mackey, and Kurt Erickson of Lee Enterprises. Another measure that passed the Illinois General Assembly in what was a busy year was a pilot program for the medical use of marijuana. What will we see, and how will that play out?
Beginning January 1, the actual rulemaking process goes into effect, and I believe they have 120 days to come up with some strict rules to regulate how the drug is grown, how it's distributed, who gets to have it. It's a pretty complicated process. They've already been working on it, the Department of Agriculture, Department of Public Health, Department of Professional Regulation, if I got that right. They're all working together to try and come up with this regulatory framework that will eventually kind of guide the state on how to do this in a safe way. And it could be, I've been hearing, maybe June before any of this really starts rolling.
And the whole idea here is that people who pushed for this in Illinois, the lawmakers especially, like Representative Lou Lang, we heard from at the top of the show, they do not want Illinois to turn into like a California-type situation where you can go in with a headache and say, oh, I need a medical marijuana prescription, or where you have a doctor's office that sets up as Dr. Pot or something like that, and you just go in and get your script. They are trying, at least on paper, and this is what they say, to make it much more strict. You have to have a set of a very defined set of diseases, you know, cancer, AIDS, some very dire illnesses in order to try and get one of these prescriptions.
Another significant piece of legislation that passed in Illinois, Charlie Wheeler, was allowing same-sex marriage.
Yeah, and that, again, was an issue that's been around for a relatively long time, not in the sense of same-sex marriage, but in terms of granting full civil rights and equality to folks who are gay and lesbian. And as I've said on the show earlier, I'm old enough to remember when the very notion of changing the state's discrimination laws to forbid discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, so no more gay jokes, no more ridicule of homosexuals, the notion of outlawing that stuff seemed very far away. But as time has evolved and as the general populace has become more understanding, more acceptance for people who are homosexuals, we've seen the law change to prohibit discrimination in public accommodation, housing, employment, things like that, based on sexual orientation. We moved to allowing civil unions, and then in kind of like light speed for state legislative action, we approved same-sex marriage. And as a matter of fact, the law is set to take effect on June 1st, but there have been court rulings that in essence have given a blanket go-ahead to the Cook County clerk to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples when one of the couples has a terminal or one partner has a terminal illness and may not actually live long enough to be married by June 1st.
Kurt Erickson, you've been in the State House for well over 15 years. Anything you want to add about the kind of the evolution of this just during that time period?
I think, yeah, like I'm going to guess here, 10 years ago there were some debates, but people were still, quote, outing not necessarily lawmakers, but relatives of lawmakers, and that kind of behavior was just you know, kind of intense. So for it to come, you know, all the way, you know, to this point has been quite something to watch.
And it was in 2004 that, you know, it really helped President George Bush win re-election. One of his top strategists had engineered a lot of constitutional amendments to ban same-sex marriage in a lot of states to sort of gin up turnout on the Republican side. And that was, you know, credited as one of the factors that helped George Bush win re-election. That was just 10 years ago. And yeah, it really has turned around quickly, not just in Illinois, but across the country. We saw the Don't Ask, Don't Tell end in the military. And I guess the only thing I would add here is that now that this is the law in Illinois, it's on the books. There's definitely a committed group of people who are very troubled by this and are committed to opposing it. But I'm not sure that we're going to see the Republican Party, you know, sort of as a whole, keep beating the drum to try and repeal it or anything, because this does seem to be the direction that society is trending, to be more accepting of same-sex marriage. So, you know, it'll be curious to see if this continues to be any sort of a heated political issue.
And we may well see it play out, therefore, in the coming elections. And this year, maybe later, although it did pass and we have seen that trend. Illinois is a very Democratic state. So in a sense, it is telling that it took the state so long, given the record Democratic majorities in both the House and Senate, that there was kind of a stunted attempt in the spring to get same-sex marriage passed. and then it had to wait until later in the year. And you still saw only a handful of Republicans come out for it, a couple of whom are facing primaries now. Democrats, not quite as much there, but they may well in the future. So as Brian said, there's very much a group that is not in favor of this. And whereas you may see the state Republican Party take a stance, just as we've noticed on the federal level, there very much remains a divide in the Republican Party between kind of the more conservative and moderate factions. And just when you look at the vote, it's also interesting to note how hard of a vote this was in the African-American community and some in the Latino community, where the churches played a key role in asking legislators to vote no for this. And we may well, again, see election effects of that.
The legislature this year approved driver's licenses for immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. Now, Amanda Venicky, that is a slow-moving process as we speak.
Exactly. Slow-moving process, first of all, like so many of the other subjects that we've talked about, this is one that has been around for years. And so in that sense, kind of a banner year in terms of Illinois legislative politics for all of these major issues that were passed. Another issue where you did see some sort of bipartisan fold coming in and getting this passed, as this comes as Illinois has seen Latino population increased, so very much seen as an election year win. Yes, as you said, it is long in coming. We're beginning to see state DMV facilities or Secretary of State facilities, whatever you want to call them, begin this process at first by setting up appointments, and then later it will be expanded. Like with medicinal marijuana, this is not something where, you know, anybody can get a license. There are some restrictions on who that is in the country illegally will be able to obtain one of these, and they will be able to use them to drive. That's where you saw a lot of the advocates say that this will make the road safer, because now individuals do need to pass a driving test in order to get one. They also need to make sure and have automobile insurance, but they will not be able to use this different sort of temporary driver's license, as they will be known, to, for example, hop on a plane. They can't be used as a form of identification in that sense.
Kurt Erickson, another issue. Lawmakers passed a kind of consensus bill to regulate the practice known as fracking. They're still finalizing the rules on that. Proponents say it contains some of the toughest regulations in the U.S.
Proponents say that, and there are a lot of opponents who are really yelling loudly right now. We're in the middle of a public hearing process that will wrap up at the end of the year, and then they'll start, you know, actually drafting the rules to try and, you know, see if we can get any kind of agreement. But I'm guessing that, you know, a lot of people in southern Illinois and eastern Illinois are very opposed to allowing this kind of oil drilling, natural gas drilling. Many people in southern Illinois are on wells. They're worried about what's going to happen to their water supply. So it's still very controversial.
Worries about earthquakes, perhaps. You know, we've got the New Madrid Fault, and that will be stirred up. You look at other states that have done this. It's also seen, however, as an economic boon, and that's why you saw organizations from the Chamber of Commerce to, of course, the drillers themselves demand this. As Kurt said, it's the rule setting where, yes, it was controversial when the legislation passed, and you saw a split between the environmental community as the opponents were so vociferously against this, and then a lot of the organizations and environmental advocates that don't necessarily want it nonetheless went along with it because they thought that being involved in the negotiations would be better than nothing. But this is where, as Kurt was alluding to, some of the rules themselves they're not happy with. And so in one regard it solves, we're very much going to see, I think, well into 2014, a lot of attention into how actually hydraulic fracturing will work in Illinois. Illinois? And then is it going to create the number of jobs? Is there the oil and gas underneath the shale, the New Albany shale that is expected or that drillers hope is there?
And also, as we look back on 2013, Jesse Jackson Jr. went to prison. The former Dixon Comptroller Rita Crunwell went to prison. Governor George Ryan got out of prison. Former Governor Rob Blagojevich continues to work the court system in hopes of getting out of prison early. And in passings, former Illinois Comptroller Don Clark Netsch died this year at the age of 86. Looking ahead to 2014, from a legislative and political standpoint, what do you see? Charlie Wheeler.
Well, I think the most urgent problem that's going to be facing the General Assembly is creating a budget for fiscal year 2015, which starts next July 1st. The reason it's going to be so difficult is because the income tax increases that were enacted a couple years ago are scheduled to roll back almost to the former levels on January 1st, 2015, and it's going to cost the state on an annual basis something like $5 billion in revenues. For fiscal 2015, because the rollback occurs mid-year, it'll be something in excess of $2 billion. And so the General Assembly and Governor Quinn are going to have to deal with that budget situation. Now, I guess one option that's on the table would be to say, well, we passed this pension reform. It's going to save us, you know, billions and billions of billions in the future, so we'll take those savings up front and we'll be able to expand our spending. I'm not sure they can do that legally, because the law under which we operate that has required a certain amount of contributions to the systems every year since 1995 says that a sum is set by the actuaries, and that's the contribution. That contribution level has been set, and it's going to require a minimal increase, something like $100 million in the contributions, but it would probably not be prudent, and I'm not even sure it would be legal, for the governor and the legislature to say, well, we've got this pension reform, therefore we don't have to follow the law regarding how much we have to set aside for the systems.
2014, Kurt Erickson.
I'm looking forward to the election season. Well, not really, but the election season is right around the corner, and obviously it's already been kind of going on, but in March we'll have a pretty heated primary outcome to talk about. On the Republican side, so ought to be pretty fun.
Amanda Venicky, looking ahead.
I think leading into that election cycle, it's not just the candidates. There are also movements that would involve redistricting in Illinois. One of the candidates for governor, Bruce Rauner, has an effort that would institute term limits, so look for those to be big key issues. Also, potentially the progressive income tax and changing. Right now, Illinois has to tax at a flat level. Will there be perhaps an effort to change that so that higher income individuals would pay a bigger tax rate than lower income individuals? All of these major issues as Illinois continues to need to shore up its budget despite movements that were made with pensions.
And Brian Mackey's gaze into the crystal ball.
I'm curious to see if we're going to hear more about the minimum wage in the next election year. Governor Pat Quinn had a little event in mid-December. He hasn't really talked about it very much. It's not like pensions where, you know, he was put on this earth, but it has been something that he's brought up once a year, every now and then, sometimes in his State of the State address, raising the minimum wage to $10. But there's a national movement out there. There have been walkouts at fast food restaurants, and they're calling for an increase to $15 an hour. Of course, small business advocates say this will result in people losing jobs because we can't afford that much. But, you know, the question that a lot of people are asking is, if you work full time, should you have to live below the poverty line? So it's going to be interesting to see if anyone really seizes that as a political issue here in Illinois.
That's our time for this edition of State Week. Our guest, Kurt Erickson of Lee Enterprises. You can get a podcast of this show by going to WUIS.org. If using a desktop or laptop, find it on iTunes by searching for State Week in Review. Production assistance for today's show provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Bill Wheelhouse.
You've been listening to State Week in Review, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week in Review is produced in the state capital by public radio station WUIS. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.